Turn now then to Psalm 59, and we'll consider this psalm together. Psalm 59. How are we to view the psalms? Well, first of all, we have to view them as the writings of someone who was inspired. We've got to think of them as the words of the author. Now, most of the psalms are written by David, so we think of David, as in this psalm before us. We think of David singing these words and praying these words. So, David is there, and we think of him and his personal experience, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing these things, speaking, singing, praying. But then secondly, we're to see the Psalms as Christ. David as a type of Christ. The other authors, the other psalmists, similarly types of Christ. So we see those who are speaking for Christ. And Christ's words coming through. Christ is in all the Psalms. And Christ, in a sense, is the author of the Psalms. So they are the words of Christ. And he is singing these words. He's praying these words. So we try to see the Lord Jesus in the Psalms in that way. And then thirdly, we are to see ourselves personally in the Psalms. Our struggles, our enemies, our difficulties, our problems, our prayer to God to deliver us, and our trust in God that He will indeed deliver us. So, the original author, Christ Himself, speaking the words, and then finding our own experience in the Psalms too. So there's different levels, as it were, of application by which we can gain benefit and profit from studying the Psalms. Now you notice in the heading of this psalm, to the chief musician, of course, it's a psalm for public worship. It describes an experience of David, and yet it's to be taken not just by David, but by others. In the days of David, singing in the temple, in the tabernacle, and then later on, down through the centuries, and the Christian church today, we are to sing these psalms. Al-Taskir. We notice that Psalm 57, Psalm 58, and Psalm 59 have in their title the words Al-Taskir. Literally translated from the Hebrew, that means destroy me not. So it was a particularly difficult time for David. And in his great difficulty, David cries out, destroy me not. Saul was trying to destroy him. But David realizes that it's not Saul who will destroy him. Saul is helpless to destroy David apart from God. Can only harm David if God allows him to do it. So, destroy me not. Whatever enemies, whatever troubles, whatever disasters come my way, remember, it's all under the hand of sovereign God. Destroy me not. Michtam of David. Mysterious, wonderful teaching of David. When Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. You remember that occasion when David fled from the javelin of Saul, fled to his house, and then his wife came to him and said, look, there's men gathering around the house, and if you don't escape for your life tonight, by tomorrow you'll be killed. And he got out a rear window of the house and escaped. And you remember how Michael took an image and put it in the bed, pretending David was sick in bed. So David, under great threat, being surrounded by the soldiers of King Saul, they watched the house to kill him. Deliver me. And God did deliver him. Now, in going through the psalm, I'm not going to go through every verse tonight, but simply pick out some of the key and critical verses. Verse 1, deliver me from mine enemies. David's cry, deliver me from Saul and his soldiers. Jesus' cry, Father, save me from this hour. Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Who with strong crying and tears prayed unto him that was able to deliver him from death, and was heard in that he feared. There were the Pharisees, the chief priests, Caiaphas, Annas, Herod, Pilate, the false witnesses, the mob who were crying, crucify him, crucify him. Deliver me, he says. So we see Jesus here crying for deliverance, and he was delivered. How was he delivered? In that he was sustained going through his sufferings and his death. And he was delivered ultimately in that God raised him from the dead, exalted him to heaven, and seated him at his own right hand. But then you and I apply this to ourselves too. Do you not also cry out, deliver me? Deliver me from mine enemies. Deliver me from those who are persecuting me. Deliver me from those who slander me, those who are against me, those who are making life difficult for me. And every one of us have our times when we meet with difficult people, and people particularly who resent our Christianity. Deliver me from Satan, the great enemy. He's always looking for an opportunity to destroy us. The roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Deliver me from the lion. Deliver me from the red dragon, the old serpent, different names for Satan. Deliver me from him who is as an angel of light. And if it were possible, he would deceive even the very elect. And we'd easily be deceived by him. But deliver me, Lord. Deliver me from the flesh within. Deliver me from the world around. Deliver me whatever my problems and difficulties and troubles. Yes, we join with David. We join with Jesus himself. Deliver me from mine enemies. Oh my God. We claim him as our own. He's our God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Praise God, there's a throne of grace. Praise God, when we're desperate, there's someone we can turn to. And we're never in a situation where it's useless to pray. Whatever the emergency, deliver me. And that, of course, is a great mark of a Christian, that the natural place we go to in our extremities is the throne of grace. We look to the Lord, sometimes poor, helpless, defeated, discouraged individuals. Sometimes in the depths of the fearful pit and the miry clay, deliver me. And he always does. Moving on to verse 4. Awake to help me. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, things getting worse, time passing by, no deliverance. It seems like God is asleep. Is it not blasphemous for for David to say, awake, awake, God. Baal was a god who seemed to be sleeping. But he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not, nor sleeps. But David is using these words reverently, respectfully. Lord, time is passing. It seems like you're asleep. Our brother in his prayer was talking about our experience as a church today. We're so cold, we're so dead. The years are passing, we're not seeing very much. It's rare to see someone converted. There's so little happening. Where are you, Lord? Awake. Awake to help me. Awake to help us. Rend the heavens and come down. Pull aside the curtains, Lord. Don't be so far away. Come near. Don't be acting as if you were asleep, Lord. You've said where the two or three are gathered together, there am I. You've said you're building your church. You've said, lo, I am with you always. Awake for my deliverance. Come, Lord. So in your own particular experience, struggling with a problem, maybe praying sometimes for years for something, you say to God, awake to help me. And as a church, we cry to God and we say, awake to help me. Then moving on to verse 8. But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Those who go about the city like these horrible dogs, filthy brutes that go around through the night, destroying, doing so much harm. But thou shalt laugh at them. Now some people talk of God having a sense of humour. That's very irrelevant to talk in that way. It's taking God down to our level. We do not have in the scriptures one case. We don't have one example in the Bible where God laughs at a joke. There's nothing like that. But actually, when the Bible talks about God laughing, it's not with people, but at people. And it's something awesome and frightening, terrifying. Yes, we have in Scripture the idea of, Lord, lift up thy countenance upon me. Let the light of thy countenance shine upon me. The words of the Aaronic benediction. And there's the idea there of God's people with the smile of God upon them. The light of God, the smile of God, the blessing of God. But God laughing. Here we have God laughing. Thou shalt laugh at them. When we think of Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. Kings of the earth to set themselves, princes are combined against the Lord and His anointed, saying, let us cast off their bands. And he that in heaven sits shall laugh. The wicked plotting, planning, gathering together in their rebellion against God. And God sits upon a throne looking down and laughs. Oh, what a frightening laugh. What a terrifying laugh. It's an awful thing when God laughs. God despises proud man. God laughs at the atheist in their arrogance, he holds rebels in contempt. David is sure that God will laugh at his enemies. God had sent his prophet Samuel to anoint David. He was anointed king of Israel. Saul was trying his hardest to destroy David. And all Saul's counselors with him against David. But Lord, thou shalt laugh at them. They think they can overturn the purpose of God. They think, Saul thinks, and those with him, that they can keep David from becoming king. But who can hold back the counsel of the Lord, the plan of God? He foreordains whatsoever comes to pass. David with all his, Saul with all his plotting, God laughs at him. What a fool he was. How much better, like Jonathan, to accept the will of God and to set himself up to fight against God's purpose. Beware. You beware that you don't try to fight against God. Nobody will succeed. Accept God's plan. It's best. We think of the Messiah and the way the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests thought that they had victory over him. Satan himself rejoicing in his crucifixion. But at the end of the day, Christ triumphs. Christ triumphs. He rises from the dead victorious. God's smile is something wonderful. Something to be desired. But his laugh, nobody wants that. Thou shalt laugh at them. Verse 9, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. His strength, here it's God's strength. Because of God's strength, I will wait upon thee, God is my defense. How wonderful it is to have God's strength. You and I were so weak. The enemies are so strong. But if we trust in God, when I am weak, then am I strong. Trust in God, because then you have God's strength with me, with you. That's what David is saying then. Because of his strength, I have none. I cannot resist all the forces that are against me. But because of his strength, I will wait upon thee, for God is my defense. God is my defense. Sometimes we find ourselves in maybe very difficult situations. Sometimes perhaps we have a besetting sin. And maybe it's something that gets the victory over us time and again. And it grieves us. What is the answer? God is strong. His strength knows no bounds. Because of his strength, I will trust in thee. For God is my defense. Run to him. Put your trust in him. Pray to him. God's strength is our defense. Moving on to verse 13. Verse 13. Consume them in wrath, consume them, but they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. Let them know that God rules in Jacob. There's a king in Israel. And that king is not Saul. And it's not even David. God rules in Jacob. False religions. they're of no value. The Muslims with their God Allah, he's no God, a figment of imagination. The Jehovah Witnesses, their God, they've got no Savior, a human Savior. What can a human Savior do for us? We need the divine Savior, the Son of God, who is equal with the Father. No. Let them know that God rules. The God of the Bible. The God who is infinite, eternal and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. The real God. He rules in Jacob and for Jacob. And he rules unto the end of the earth. Jacob was at Bethel. He lay down to sleep, feeling desolate, away from home, from his father's house, lonely, just a staff and a stone for a pillow. But God appeared to him that night. The heavens opened, as it were, and a ladder came down. And Jacob confessed, God is here, and I knew it not. It is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. May they know, wherever you are, O Jacob, God is there. May they know that wherever God's people are to be found, in the distant parts of the world, in the jungle, in the desert, in the slum, in the city, wherever the child of God is, God ruleth in Jacob and to the ends of the earth. What a comfort that is. It's not man who rules. It's not the idols and false gods and false religions who rule. It's God who rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth, ruling and defending us. And then verse 16. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defence and a refuge in the day of my trouble. I will sing. Christians are to sing. Even if we're not very good at singing, we're to sing. David said, I will sing of thy power. It's a wonderful thing to sing of God's power. And yet you notice it's not just his power. He says, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. We need mercy as well as power. If God was just power, we'd be destroyed. We're sinners. But he's power and he's mercy. He's justice and he's truth and he's love. I will sing. I will sing of thy power. I will sing of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defence and refuge in the day of trouble. God came to David time and time again and delivered him. He delivered him when Saul thought he had the house surrounded and there was no escape for David. David did escape because God delivered him. God opened the way. And God always makes a way of escape so that we may be able to bear it. There's always a way of escape. So I will sing. And then finally, verse 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defence and the God of my mercy. What a wonderful claim. God is my strength. The God of my strength. God is my defense. The God of my mercy. God. What is our relationship to God? Is he our enemy? Is he a stranger to us? Or is he my strength, my defense, my mercy? what is our relationship to Him? Do we know Him? Whom to know is life eternal. We are weak in ourselves, but I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. By faith make this claim. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. Praise Him here on earth. Praise Him to all eternity. God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Whatever our troubles, there's mercy in God.